Most so-called brawls between Major League Baseball teams involve a lot of shouting and some shirt pulling and very little damage. But the August 1965 battle between the San Francisco Giants pitcher Juan Marichal and Los Angeles Dodgers catcher John Roseborough was different. Marichal hit Roseborough in the head with a bat. In his new book, The Fight of Their Lives, John Rosengren explores the circumstances that preceded that event and the way both men put the fight behind them and found peace in its aftermath. John Rosengren, welcome to Only a Game.
Thanks, Bill. Nice to be here.
Please describe for us the fight at home plate between Marichal and Roseborough.
This was late August 1965, Dodgers-Giants in a tight pennant race. This is the fourth game of a four-game series, and there'd been some bantering back and forth. Well, then Marichal had hit or put in the dirt Maury Wills and Ron Fairley of the Dodgers. The umpire had warned both pitchers. Roseborough said, "I'll take matters in my own hands." He called for an inside pitch when Marichal came to bat in the top of the third, dropped the ball deliberately, picked it up, threw it back past Marichal's face. Marichal claims the ball nicked him. So he turned to confront Roseborough, and Roseborough rose up out of his crouch. Marichal sees Roseborough advancing on him in his full catcher's gear, and he takes a step back and brings his bat down in defense. Bench is emptied, and there is a 14-minute melee on the field. Roseborough left with a 2-inch gash on his head, and Marichal left the field with his reputation forever sullied.
1965, baseball was a somewhat larger presence on the sports landscape than it is now compared to some of the other sports. How much news did this make when it happened?
This was huge. It was featured prominently in Sports Illustrated, in Life magazine. You remember, 1965, we didn't have the internet. We didn't have the television coverage that we do today. And so many people got their news from these weekly magazines.
The cover photo of The Fight of Their Lives is the famous image of Marichal, baseball bat in hand, about to whack John Roseborough. Is it fair to say that photo had a lot to do with why people regarded Marichal as pure villain in this story?
I think that's a very apt interpretation, because when you look at that photo, and it's a photo that many of us have seen, whether we're baseball fans or not, it very much looks like Marichal is attacking Roseborough with a bat.
And understandably so. I mean, provocation notwithstanding, whacking a guy with a bat when he doesn't have a bat is quite something to see on a baseball field.
Exactly. And he would be the first to say what he did was wrong, and he immediately regretted it.
You write about events transpiring in the Dominican Republic before and during August 1965. What were Juan Marichal's concerns about his homeland at the time?
Civil war had broken out in 1965 in the spring. President Johnson had sent over 20,000 U.S. troops into the Dominican. Juan was worried about his family and their safety back home, understandably, and there wasn't a phone on the family farm, so he had to write a letter, wait a week for it to arrive, and then wait another week for a response. Willie Mays said, you know, Juan was so upset that summer, he really shouldn't have been pitching.
Juan Marichal had every reason to be on edge at that time, but that could be said of John Roseborough as well, right?
Absolutely. This event occurred on the baseball field a week after the Watts riots, and those had really troubled Roseborough, a black man living in South Central L.A. From Dodger Stadium, he and the other players could see the smoke of the buildings burning in Watts, and it troubled them that they're still playing baseball. One night, there was word that the protesters were going to march down the street in front of Roseborough's house, and so he sat outside that night on the front stoop with a gun to protect his family. So Roseborough was also emotionally rattled and troubled and stressed.
How did the reconciliation between Roseborough and Marichal begin?
The seeds of it were in Roseborough's admission in his book that was published in 1978, and in it he admitted that he had provoked the incident. So I think that opened the door. And then also, Marichal was not inducted into the Hall of Fame in 1981, his first year of eligibility, despite having the numbers. This fight had sullied his reputation, so he didn't get in, and then he didn't get in the second ballot. So he called up Roseborough and he said, "Johnny, listen, I'm sorry. I need your help." And Roseborough forgave him, and at this point, Roseborough is running a PR firm with his wife in Los Angeles. So they put together a campaign to lobby on behalf of Marichal. Marichal got in his third year, 1983, and one of the first people he called was Roseborough and said, "Johnny, I made it, thank you." And both men broke down in tears.
John, I want to step back from the event at the center of your book for a moment to look at the baseball careers of both men involved. Juan Marichal was a great pitcher. He's in the Hall of Fame. But as you point out in the chapter titled The Man Behind the Mask, John Roseborough was probably underrated as a player. Why was that?
He was underrated because he didn't have those eye-popping statistics, you know, that Roy Campanella, his predecessor, had, or other great catchers. But he was the anchor of that defense for the Dodgers. He was a catcher that pitchers preferred. Sandy Koufax wanted Roseborough behind the plate when he was pitching. But there's not a statistic we have to measure that. And so I think that was lost on the casual fan. And as a result, people didn't have the appreciation for Roseborough that he really did deserve. Jim Murray of the LA Times did say that he thought Roseborough at one point was the best and most valuable player in the National League, if not all of baseball, for his defensive skills.
You end your book with a description of John Roseborough's memorial service in 2002. Tell us a little bit about Juan Marichal's role on that occasion.
Well, Roseborough had a series of ailments toward the end of his life with his heart, with cancer. He finally passed away in 2002. Barbara, his widow, called Juan Marichal. She asked him to be an honorary pallbearer as well as to deliver a eulogy. And he was surprised when he got to the funeral to see that on the program they'd put together to commemorate Johnny, on the back page were the famous photographs from Life magazine depicting the fight and Willie Mays leading Roseborough off the field with the blood streaming down Roseborough's face and onto his chest protector. And Marichal has never liked speaking about this event. I mean, even after they reconciled, it's haunted him that people remember him for this fight, not for his excellent career. I mean, he was the dominant pitcher of the 60s. That's the way he wants to be remembered. So when he got up to deliver his eulogy, he was nervous because it was the first time he publicly, in front of a group, spoke about this event, and especially there were representatives from the Dodgers. You know, most people there were friends of Johnny's. And it was a delicate situation for him. But he said, you know, it was one of the most beautiful moments of my life when Johnny forgave me. And he was a great man. I love Johnny. I wish he could have been my catcher. And I don't think there was a dry eye in the chapel when he was done.
John Rosengren is the author of The Fight of Their Lives, How Juan Marichal and John Roseborough Turned Baseball's Ugliest Brawl into a Story of Forgiveness and Redemption. He joined me from Minnesota Public Radio in St. Paul. John, thank you very much for speaking with me.
You're welcome. My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
The results of a recent survey by the British Journal of Sports Medicine may surprise some who've been watching the Winter Olympics. While freestyle mogul skiing looks like a sport rife with the possibility of injured knees, feet, ankles, and shoulders, the survey demonstrates that curling is more dangerous. Snowboard cross, wherein competitors sometimes bang into each other, leads the Winter Games lineup in injuries. No surprise there, perhaps, but who would have guessed that figure skaters sustain more per capita injuries than those competing in the snowboard halfpipe? The safest of the Winter Games? Biathlon, the only one in which a weapon is involved. You got the stick to your guns. You got a